AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A former monster of the Midway has died. CBS's Jim Krasula has more.
Menacing Hall of Fame linebacker Dick Butkus, who played 9 NFL seasons for the Chicago Bears, has died at the age of 80. His family says he died in his sleep at his home in Malibu, California.
Butkus's beat is from sideline to sideline, and he's a tireless, tenacious roamer.
The Chicago native, one of the most intimidating players in NFL history, retired at 31 and later acted in movies, TV shows, and commercials. Jim Krasula, CBS News.
The Biden administration defends the fast-tracking of a southern Texas border wall, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
DHS is required by law to use the funds for appropriated purpose.
More from CBS's Nancy Cordes.
18-foot-high steel panels will be installed along a 20-mile stretch of the Rio Grande near McAllen, Texas. President Biden insisted he didn't want to build the wall, but that his hands were tied by a law Congress passed in 2019.
They have to use the money for what is appropriate. I can't stop that.
Thousands of healthcare workers at Kaiser Permanente are walking the picket lines for a second day, demanding higher wages and better working conditions. Caroline Lucas of the Coalition of Kaiser Permanente Union says wages have not kept pace with inflation.
No one wants our healthcare workers to be struggling to make ends meet to the point where we have, you know, frontline healthcare workers sleeping in cars or with second jobs trying to make it in this economy.
The former University of Southern California gynecologist charged with sexually abusing more than a dozen students and accused of abuse by hundreds more has died before going to trial. George Tyndall's attorney says the 76-year-old was found dead in his home yesterday, and there is no evidence of foul play or suicide. The wife of a black man shot to death by police in Alabama last week have met with the Morgan County District Attorney. An officer shot Stephen Perkins outside his home after being called to the home because of a confrontation with a tow truck driver who had gone there to repossess a vehicle. Police said Perkins had produced a gun. Attorney Lee Merritt represents Perkins' wife.
Justice for the Perkins family would not only be the termination of every officer involved, but it would mean criminal convictions and appropriate sentencing.
Outside City Hall in San Francisco, family and friends attended the funeral of late Senator Dianne Feinstein, who died last week. San Francisco Mayor London Breed praised Feinstein as a trailblazer and a role model.
Millions of girls my age and long after me have grown blissfully free of the yokes our grandmothers wore because Dianne Feinstein wrestled them off, because she showed the way.
This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Exergen thermometers are the smart choice when selecting a thermometer. With children back at school, keeping them healthy is important. Got a fever? Stay home. To detect fever accurately at home, you need a clinically accurate, fast, and non-invasive thermometer. The Exergen thermometer is backed by over 100 clinical studies. Accuracy matters. Be smart and safe. Measure accurately with Exergen thermometers. Available at Walgreens and other participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Listen to the 48 Hours podcast for shocking murder cases and compelling real-life dramas from one of television's most watched true crime shows. Go behind the scenes of each episode with award-winning CBS News correspondents and producers in Postmortem, a weekly deep dive. Listen to 48 Hours wherever you get your podcasts.
The Todd Alba Show.
These fires in Alberta, they're just this very narrow jet stream, just bringing all that kind of smoke down.
What it does is those sunsets and sunrises,
yeah.
I mean, you've just got this massive deep red disc up in the sky. It's like you're in a Star Wars, you know, movie or something like that.
The Todd Alba Show.
Which makes sense when you look at the Civic Media lineup. I mean, we really look like the Cantina Bar as far as all the characters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And my electrical was deemed unsafe. And I was about to lose homeowner's insurance as well. I didn't really know where to go in order to get help. And so I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. They've really been a blessing. Operation Homefront is a safety net. A lot of veterans, they fall through the cracks sometimes. And Operation Homefront, they catch us. It's been a blessing to us. It's a blessing to other veteran families. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us and want to see us do well and want to see us succeed. And we feel it and we appreciate that. I would say you guys are angels behind closed doors.
Visit OperationHomefront.org to learn more.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows level off around 44. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Tomorrow, highs level off around 51. Overcast skies. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 36. Partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 61.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I joined the Navy to serve my country as a Navy SEAL. While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. And I broke my neck. It left me paralyzed. Paralyzed Veterans of America was by my side from that moment on.
Since 1946, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to our wounded veterans. We will never leave a fallen comrade behind.
Thanks to PVA, paralyzed veterans are getting specialized medical care and treatments. The benefits they've earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need.
I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
To learn more, go to PVA.org today.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Teachers, learners, schools, and communities have never faced more challenges than they do in 2023. Is education a matter of national security? Major elections, artificial intelligence, educator shortages, these issues have serious implications. Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci break it down every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. for you and your neighbor. Busted Pencils on the Civic Media Network.
Find previous shows and more at civicmedia.us.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes, their age, the way they speak? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a single father of two who works three part-time jobs
and still can't put enough food on the table?
Or maybe a mother who cleans offices at night,
hoping to find meeting leftovers to take home to her hungry family?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad, your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
A tree can be a warrior, battling global challenges with greater courage. A tree can be a solution, cleaning our air, supporting our communities, and protecting our wildlife. A tree can be noble, growing hope in every corner of the world. That's why now is the time for trees. Millions of trees. Join our planting movement at arborday.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows level off around 44. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Tomorrow, highs level off around 51. Overcast skies. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 36. Partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 61.
Yeah. So.
No, this is the thing that gets me. I mean, you know, I remember him filing that. And I remember going, you know, you're going to have to be deposed and there's going to be discovery. It's like yesterday I talked about Giuliani is suing President Biden because Biden said that he's Putin's puppet. Well, okay, now you're suing Biden. So his lawyers are going to, they're going to comb
destroy
through.
Destroy you.
Exactly.
They will destroy you. And that's the thing, is like, then you'll end up having all of this information that could prove that Giuliani really was Putin's puppet. Like, it could end up working out in Biden's favor.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what happened here with this Cohen case, is it's like, dude, Cohen has spent years and years with this man, working with this man, and now suddenly he has an opportunity to have his lawyers ask questions under oath about things that he as a lawyer could not discuss.
Yeah.
And now suddenly it would, oops, be in the public record from the court documents. And of course he wasn't going to get deposed. I mean, it's just the stupidest thing in the world. But he has gone on with this, you know, for months. And that's the thing that Trump does, right, is he sues people to intimidate them and forces them to pay months and months of legal fees, and then drops it out of the blue and is like, OK, we're done here. But the thing is now it sort of feels like the turnaround is fair play with Trump. Now he's the one who really has to deal with all of these lawsuits and all of these legal fees. And, you know, it's got to, like, he's starting to run out of cash.
Yeah, no, it's starting to catch up with him. Now, Will, you go back to your little text machine and ask Cohen if he's going to sue for legal expenses for a frivolous lawsuit. Because can you just file a lawsuit? They go, oh, well, we changed our mind. Yeah, no harm, no foul. Can you do that?
That is a good question, because sorry, I was actually doing it as you were saying, sue for legal expenses.
Yeah, let's see if we get a response back on that, because, you know,
right?
Because it's always been my view that you file these, you better go through with it.
And Florida in particular, the thing is that they have the frivolous lawsuit laws too. I don't know what their slap suits are necessarily, but already there was the lawsuit that Trump lost when he sued Hillary Clinton and like 500 other people, you know. And he what's her name, his other lawyer, du jour, got fined like a ton of cash. I think it was almost $1 million.
Yeah. So, look, every you know, I think it was Rick Wilson who said that everything Trump touches dies.
Yes.
Or everyone Trump touches goes broke. Because today, the beautiful statement today, Mike Lindell, broke. We've lost everything, every dime. It's all gone. All of it, he said. Those are his words. We've lost everything. Every dime, all of it is gone. His lawyers are bailing on him, and he's still being sued by what? $1.3 billion by Dominion. Smartmatic is going after him for a huge amount of money. That guy, he better come up with a new gimmick besides a pillow and slippers.
Yeah, because basically it's gonna end up being Smartmatic brings you pillows. At the end of this thing. So Cohen responded, and so I said, are you going to sue him for legal expenses? And he goes, look at the last sentence of my quote, which is more to come. So pretty sure that that's an indication of yes.
There's your answer. And the thing is, you know, the judge, you know, and looking at what the judge did, you know, with Trump, you know, having to disclose all of the LLCs, basically lay everything out. I mean, do we now find out he's not as rich as he said he was, and he doesn't own half of what he claims he owns? And do we now find that it was all just a con, that all of it, that some of us believed it was from the beginning?
Exactly. Like, that's the thing, is I feel like we spent the first like year of the campaign and first year of his presidency digging through all of these financial documents, and none of it really made sense to folks who cover this kind of economic issues. And right. For the biographers like Tim O'Brien and David K. Johnston, they're like, y'all, we've been doing this for like decades. He ain't got no money. And interesting, it's one of the funny things that of all people, Joy Behar in The View talks about, is she's like, you know, he didn't hate Rosie O'Donnell until she started questioning his wealth. The second she started questioning his wealth, it was like, you know, he was on her. And that was the genesis of their feud.
Can you do that again? No, but here's the thing, and this is here. I guess this is the serious question then, because I've been saying from the beginning he's been a con man. I've believed he's been a con man all along. You've heard all of the stories back in 2015 and 16 about all the people that he stiffed. You know, the bankruptcies, all this stuff. Will it matter to the faithful? I mean, is there an epiphany? Is there a light bulb moment? Do you think for some that they go, oh, I was conned? Do you think that's possible?
I don't know. I mean, we were talking a little bit before the show about cultism, and the way that Cohen talks about, you know, living life under the world of Donald Trump is it's a lot like a cult, where you have this this personality, this you know, this God that you're following around like an evangelical pastor, and you know, it's that Joel Osteen kind of thing, and people flock to it. And so I don't know. I mean, it's the same thing with him. Like, he, you know, obviously has his private jets and all of his fancy lifestyle, and he probably has more money than Donald Trump does too. And in the end, people don't, that doesn't deter them from him. I think what will change is one of my favorite things that happened today. My favorite piece of news other than this, obviously, was, Representative Moskowitz filed or sent a letter to the Palm Beach County appraiser.
Yep.
And said, hey, I don't know if you noticed, but Donald Trump has been saying that his Mar-a-Lago property is worth like $1.5 billion. You assessed it at something else. Is it possible that maybe he should be paying a hell of a lot more in property taxes?
And look, I said that from the beginning. If these properties are worth what he says they're worth, why isn't he paying taxes out the wazoo on them?
Yes.
As any one of us would be.
And the thing is if you look at all of those documents, whenever his property taxes went up, based on the assessment, his lawyers were, you know, his accountants and his lawyers were on it fast. They were just like, oh, no, we dispute this. Mar-a-Lago isn't worth whatever it was that you said it was. It's actually worth a lot less. So our property taxes are going to be a lot less. And so it's like it's exactly what the lawsuit in New York is about,
right?
Where he's playing this game of, you know, it's cheaper here, it's more there.
But here's the thing, and I'm going to defend him a little bit, because rich people get away with this all the time. This is a rich people thing. And the thing that infuriates me is, you know, people would defend Trump. Well, he's just smart. No, this is what rich people get away with all the time. Trump has exposed it, and good for him. Thank goodness Trump has put himself out there to be exposed as the fraud that he is and the cheat that he is, so that maybe we can deal with it. You know, for me, you know, the thing that came out of this trial was his defense. And maybe you'll think it's as important as I do. He says, I can't overinflate my properties because I can always go to the Saudis and get what I want. And I'm going, wait a second. How is that possible?
Yeah.
And then what are you giving the Saudis so that they're giving you whatever you want?
Yeah, I mean, that's where this sort of goes from just a regular, everyday rich dude who's bilking the system to, holy crap, did he just reveal that he has some sketchy relationships with the Saudi government and that they owe him money for stuff?
Yes. But here's the thing. We find out today. This is another one of those things. And I go back to something I've said a million times in the Trump era. Think about everything we know about Donald Trump. Think about everything that we've heard, all of the horrible stories, all of the, you know, those soldiers are suckers and losers. And, you know, think about all of that stuff. And then imagine all the stuff we don't know.
Yeah.
So this story comes out today that, you know, he's with this Australian billionaire and he's leaning in and whispering and telling him about our nuclear subs. And, you know, my mind goes to this place of, you know, are there any people working in Mar-a-Lago who aren't on some foreign country's, intelligence payroll somewhere? Aren't spies for some foreign intelligence agency? Because national secrets are laying on tables in the bathrooms. He's whispering to people in the ballroom about our nuclear capacity. Really?
Here's the thing, though. They don't even have to have their spies, you know, placed in there as employees. They can just have some rando pay $200,000 for a Mar-a-Lago membership and then pal around with him all the time. And, you know, be make friends with him and you know, get him a little lubed up and be like, hey, you want some pie? You know, you want to chat about nuclear secrets? Like, you know, I mean, it's just, it's so absurd.
Serving Central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
One of the things, right? I'm sure he eats a lot of pie. I'm sure he probably eats the fried pies from McDonald's. Right. They don't have the actual fried one anymore, do they? They do the baked ones. Anyway, so the thing that I found the most interesting today is you made me lose my train of thought. Dang you. What were we talking about?
Spies at Mar-a-Lago. On the foreign payrolls.
Oh, the thing that we found out today, and I think one of the filings from Trump's lawyers in Miami for the classified documents case, because they're complaining about how there's no secure facility for them to read stuff and that's delaying things and yada, yada. One of the things that I didn't know is that there are three documents that he had that are so secret that he can't even view them at a secure facility. He can only view them in Washington, D.C. And at that point, your mind is just reeling about what on earth was this document?
Yeah.
You know, what were these things? What were they saying? And who was he giving them to?
No, and this is the thing. You know, I go back to this story with this Australian billionaire. You know, how many times has this happened? How many people has he, to butter up or to try and, get some kind of favor with? Has he just let stuff out? Or, you know, he doesn't even care that it's top secret or classified because it doesn't matter to him. He's just blurting stuff out. This is why you don't give guys like that the nuclear football. You just don't do it. You don't give them the code. You don't do it.
How many people is he telling Mike Lindell this stuff? And is Mike Lindell then calling up, the Russians being like, hey, I'm in this bad lawsuit with Smartmatic and I need some money?
Yeah, yet I hear the right wing, outrage machine going on about, Donald Trump was, he was tough on Putin. We know he's got stuff on Putin. You go, really? I think it's the other way around. I think Putin's got stuff on a lot of Republicans. Or why else would they be doing his bidding? I don't know if you saw the statement recently that he basically said the war would end in a week if they could cut off access to Western weapons, because they're almost out of weapons. So you see the Republicans in the House going, no, we're going to cut off aid to Ukraine. I don't know. There seems like kind of a quid pro quo there.
It does. It sort of seems like Putin is just writing the press releases for them at this point. And people like Ron Johnson, especially, it's exactly like you say, what do they have on Ron Johnson? What the heck was he doing in Russia whenever he was visiting with Putin there? What videos do they have? Stay away from that vodka, man.
So let me ask you, with all the craziness in the house and all of the fun and entertainment, day two of no speaker vacation, evidently now it's going to be retribution and vengeance. They threw Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer out of their offices. Now they're going after Matt Gaetz. They're going to cawthorn Matt Gaetz, which couldn't happen to a better person. In fact, we can change the Cawthorn to Gaetz when he's gone. Any thoughts on what we're going to see coming, what the fun and entertainment's going to be?
So one of the first things that I thought when all of this was going down with Matt Gaetz is I was like, if John Boehner was there, Matt Gaetz would have been gone a long time ago. He would probably be in jail by now. Just because that's sort of the way that Boehner worked is he would, if he didn't like somebody, he would find information about them out. And what was that one guy out of Illinois that had the like sketchy real estate deals? He got rid of that guy really fast. And really, it's because Boehner was secretly basically passing around different pieces of opposition research to progressive news people.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, how he got rid of folks. I don't think McCarthy, I can't decide if McCarthy either didn't care or if he's so aligned with Matt Gaetz that he actually supported half of the stuff that Matt Gaetz wanted.
Yeah.
Cause that's the weird thing is he's been kind of a nutter for a long time and he's only been forced to moderate because it's just bad for him in PR terms.
Yeah. So last question, Speaker Trump, yes or no?
Yeah. So here's the thing is
a MAGA rally every day. It would be a MAGA rally every day. According to Marjorie Three Names, it would be the House of MAGA. Think about it. Could be fun. Could be entertaining.
Rule 26 of the Republican rules say you can't be the speaker if you've been indicted.
They can change that. I've got it on good authority. Real simple. They could change it if they wanted to. If they really wanted to, they could change it.
They could. They'd have to elect a speaker, change the rules, fire that speaker, and then elect Donald Trump.
Well, they got a temporary one. They got the bow tie wearing Wall Street.
Yeah. Bucket. The only action that he can take is he can hold a vote for a new speaker. There's no other thing that he can do.
Well, we will see. We'll see how this, we'll see what happens. But you know, I'm pushing for it. I want Speaker Trump. I think it would be a good thing for the Republican Party. Best thing they could do for themselves.
It's kind of the burn it all down.
Yep.
Method where it's just like, here, let me just shove you off that cliff that you're standing on.
The dumpster's on fire. Let me just push it into the ocean.
Yeah, kind of. It really is. And you can just burn and drown out there by yourself. Have fun.
I was just going with drown, but you got the burn and drown. All right. Sarah, as always, great stuff. Thank you for the breaking news. I'll look forward to talking to you back here next time.
Oh, thank you. Have a good day tomorrow.
You as well. Our good friend Sarah Burris. Make sure you check out their website, rawstory.com. Find all the incredible work that she does. And I'm sure the breaking news. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1945. That was a day known in Hollywood as Black Friday. After World War II, the movie industry began to rake in profits. But they did not pass those profits along to their employees. 10,000 members of the Conference of Studio Unions were on strike. They were part of the Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners. They were also in a jurisdictional battle with the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees, or IATSE, over who should represent stage decorators. The strike wore on for half a year. The studios had more than 100 films backlogged and were able to wait out the strikers. But as the strike continued and the studios remained silent, pressure mounted. Despite the tensions between the two unions, thousands of IATSE members refused to cross the picket lines. On Black Friday, the strikers decided to concentrate their efforts at the Warner Brothers Studios gate. 300 picketers gathered to hold the line. Scabs, hired by Warner Brothers, tried to drive through the workers' picket lines to the studio. Variety accounted what happened next, writing, quote, "Strikers deployed from their barricades, halted non-strikers, and rolled three automobiles on their sides. By noon, reinforcements arrived from both sides. Firemen were called in to turn their hoses on the striking workers. Warner Brothers security deployed tear gas. Common for the time, accusations were hurled that the Conference of Studio Union Strikers were communists. As a result of the strike, the Conference of Studio Union's employees were assigned to other jobs in the studios. When they refused, they were locked out. The union never recovered. The violence at the Warner Brothers Studios gate also helped to fuel the passage of the Taft-Hartley Act through Congress, which eroded union protections. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
I mean, stop and think about it for a second. You know, all of the classified documents that found its way to Mar-a-Lago, all of the stories that we already know of Trump, you know, just telling stories, just being Trump, just being the good golf buddy. trying to endear himself to his companion. And, you know, hey, you know, see, this is one of those things that I said from the beginning about the classified documents, and I still believe this. I know a lot of people say, no, he was going to sell them. No, he was going to do all this stuff. I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe I'm not ruling it out, but I think it's much simpler than that. I think it's, hey, look what I have. Look how important I am. Look at me. It's all about his, it's always been about his ego. It's always been a love fest about him. These rallies are all to feed his ego. It's not about the people in the crowd. Could care less about them. It's about his ego. And having these classified documents, having things that nobody else has, that's an aphrodisiac. That's his ED medicine that he snorts. Like Matt Gaetz, according to Mark Wayne Mullen. Don't know if he did it or not. According to Mark Wayne Mullen, allegedly. Saved myself from being sued. But this is one of those things where him having all of this information is dangerous to national security. And we've not had this in any other president throughout history that we were concerned.
They are our cuddlers and co-workers, purr machines and love bugs, and constant companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life so much better. When we face unexpected challenges in life, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people who love their pets and the pets who love their people, ensuring these families stay exactly where they belong, together. And you have something to offer. With an open heart and mind, there is nothing you can't do. There's no gesture too small or too big when it comes to helping. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. You can help keep pets and people together. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United
WFHR,
States.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio.